You're listening to The Blueprint, Canada's conservative podcast.
Is the Prime Minister actually saying that taxpayers should be on the hook when he breaks the law?
Going to take for the Prime Minister to have any respect for any laws in this country that may curb his out-of-control behavior.
All these deficits leading to nothing but burying Canadians in taxes.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been an incredible night. I cannot tell you how proud I am to come from this province and to have so many wonderful Conservatives here in the room. And it's such a great honour to follow on wonderfully thoughtful speakers tonight. And all of these speeches are a reminder that conservatism is alive and well, that conservative ideas are alive and well. Ces discours rappellent que le conservatisme est bien vivant, que les idées conservatrices sont bien vivantes. Now, regardless of the forces that attempt to divide us, or distort us, or demonize us, we know that when conservatives stay true to our principles, we win. It's as simple as that. I want to start tonight by thanking every single one of you for coming from all across Canada to join us right here in beautiful Halifax, Nova Scotia. Now, truth be told, the Liberals would rather not us be here tonight, but you know, unlike Alberta Oil, there's nothing Justin Trudeau can do to block Canadian Conservatives from getting to the East Coast. But as we gather here tonight, I'm reminded that the next time we get together like this, one of two things will be true. Either we will be into the second term of Liberal scandals, waste, and division, or Canada will have turned the page and be starting a new term of responsible, accountable, and mainstream conservative government. So take your pick. What do you want? Do you want a second term of Liberal scandals and cover-ups, or do you want to turn the page and restore accountability to our government? Do you want a second term of Liberal deficits? Or do you want to turn that page and balance the budget once again? Do you want a second term of the Liberal carbon tax, or do you want to turn the page on the carbon tax era once and for all? Do you want a second term of Justin Trudeau's selfies and vacations? No. Or do you want to turn the page with a new Prime Minister, Andrew Scheer, who actually wants to get some work done for all Canadians? Look, the stakes are really that high. So while this week is an opportunity to build our networks, have some fun, and while this week is an opportunity for us to shape the future of our party and our executive, our constitution and our policies, it is also an opportunity for us to get ready. Show all of Canada that the Conservative Party is ready. We're ready to win, we're ready to govern, we're ready to lead, and we're ready to get Canada back on track. It's going to start with our ideas. It has to start with our ideas. And there's no such thing as a single shared conservative idea. We accept all kinds of different ideas in our party. And if you're like me, you have already spent time this weekend speaking to fiscal hawks, social conservatives, social moderates, red Tories, libertarians, law and order conservatives, and all manner of people between. Because in this party, we're actually allowed to disagree with one another. And that's perfectly okay, because this is what this convention is about. Everybody brings their best ideas to the table, and it's up for us to work it out. Some debates you're going to win, some you're not. But unlike the Liberals, we are not afraid to debate. And that's why I'm so proud to be a Conservative. I'm grateful for the opportunity tonight to talk a little bit about my province. I grew up in Whitney Pier, Cape Breton. And it was, thank you, small Nova Scotia contingent here. It was my upbringing there that led me to be a Conservative. Dr. Mayan Francis was the Lieutenant Governor of Nova Scotia, and she has said this about growing up in Whitney Pier. I always say Whitney Pier was multicultural before the word multicultural was ever coined. It gave such an opportunity to get to know different people. It was acceptance at such an early age. It wasn't until I left Whitney Pier that I realized not everyone in the world is like that. So nearly a century before the term multiculturalism was coined, Whitney Pier, where I grew up, was a melting pot of 15 separate ethnic groups. Between 1899 and 1930, Whitney Pier had the largest number of ethnic groups in the Maritimes as immigrants from around the world came to the area for well-paying jobs at the steel plant and the coal mines, and we all lived together. And we shared a deep-seated working-class identity, despite ethnic or racial or religious differences. And today, the religious, social, and cultural institutions that were built by my parents and my grandparents are still there. And this shows that the enduring world that we working people built for ourselves, in spite of economic hardship, exists. Whitney Pier was physically separated from Sydney, but it was also symbolically separated. Many Whitney Pier residents were excluded from Sydney because of their class and their ethnicity. But we turned this separation to our advantage. We developed a local culture that revolved around the appreciation and nurturing of ethnic traditions and deep respect for the self-sufficiency of working-class people. Strong institutions were built. Strong union, benevolent societies, sports clubs, culture group, and businesses. Why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because my strong sense of community was shaped and formed in Whitney Pier, and it was defined by the diversity of my neighbors and our shared working class identity. And to this day, people like Chester Borden at the Whitney Pier Boys and Girls Club and Sandra Dunn at the Whitney Pier Historical Museum continue these teachings and traditions. And make no mistake, these values that we lived and that we created have created impressive contributors to society. And I'll give you one example. In 2012, the Lieutenant Governor of Nova Scotia, Dr. Mayan Francis, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Nova Scotia, Michael McDonald, the Speaker of the House of Nova Scotia, Gordie Goss, and the Federal Minister of Labour, Lisa Raitt, all grew up in Whitney Pier. And I was so proud in 2015 when our government decided to name the development of Whitney Pier as a national historic event. I'm a proud Conservative because I recognize the same values that I was raised with in Whitney Pier in this party. We appreciate and nurture ethnic traditions and differences. We have deep respect for self-sufficiency of working class people. You see diversity in this caucus, you see it in our candidates, you see it in our riding associations and in our volunteers. They are real champions of Canadian diversity right here in the Conservative Party. And by the way, at the end of the day, I know that we are here in Atlantic Canada and the assumption is that everybody is a Liberal. Well, I know that I would never be allowed in the Liberal Party, and I'll tell you why. It's because I want to know that when I succeed, it's not because of some quota assigned from the Prime Minister's office, it's because I earned it. And I want to tell you something else. If somebody offered me one of those non-economic female portfolios in a gender-balanced cabinet, I would have told them exactly where they could shove their quota. I guess you can take the girl out of Whitney Pierre, but you can't take Whitney Pierre out of the girl. In the Conservative Party of Canada, our party, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, it doesn't matter how you identify or who you love, it doesn't matter how you look, how you pray, what language you speak, it doesn't matter if you're Indigenous or a longtime resident or a new Canadian. If you believe in lower taxes, if you believe in balanced budgets, in smaller governments, in safer neighborhoods, in improving our healthcare, protecting our borders, supporting our troops, respecting our history, defending free speech, this is the home for you, the Conservative Party of Canada. Because whatever our differences are, and a lot of people want to talk about our differences, we are united by shared values, hard work, personal responsibility, equality under the law, and respect for tradition. These are the values that resonate with regular, everyday Canadians like the ones I grew up with in Whitney Pierre, Cape Breton. And the Conservative Party can always be counted on to fight for people like I was. The strivers, the big dreamers, the hard workers, and the small business owners who are chasing their dreams. Now, while Justin Trudeau and his finance minister look at small business owners and see a tax cheat, well, we see someone who is working like a dog and is taking a big risk in order to create local jobs. So when one of Justin Trudeau's ministers tweeted out that Canadian-born citizens aren't up to the challenge of creating jobs, I thought, is this guy for real? Well, I got news for anyone who defended that tweet. How about you and I take a swing by North Sydney, North Bay, or North Vancouver so you can see for yourself just how hard Canadians are actually working in this country? I'm going to bet you that these ministers may be surprised to see that every day in every province and territory across this country, people are getting up and they're going to work. They're doing everything they can to put food on the table, to pay their bills, to save a little up for retirement or maybe their kids' education, and maybe even sock a little away for a family vacation. Canadians are working hard to succeed, and this is despite the fact that the Liberal government continues to push an agenda that makes life even harder, that makes keeping or creating a job harder. Justin Trudeau's agenda forces you to pay more so he can spend more. Justin Trudeau is willing to risk your jobs so he can try to cling to his. And that's why the coming months are just so important for this country. Between now and October 21st, 2019, we need to close this deal. It's going to take everything we've got, and it's going to take everything you've got. And I speak for every single member of our caucus and every single Conservative Party candidate when I tell you that behind every victory is a team. Every door that you knock on, every phone call you make, every dollar you raise, it all makes a difference in turning Justin Trudeau into the first one-term majority prime minister since the Great Depression. But make no mistake, while the bloom is off Justin Trudeau's rose, the Liberals control the levers of power. And they have already shown that they are prepared to break or even rewrite the rules in order to win. We have to be at our best. But the good news is this. The Conservative Party, we're ready. From one end of Canada to the other, we are gaining members. Our fundraising is the strongest of any party in Canada and growing stronger every single day. The depth and the talent of our team of nominated candidates is also very impressive. And we will have a forward-thinking platform that will be informed by the policies that we discuss here this week. And we will ensure that our candidates and local teams have the best tools and technology to get the job done. And my friends, when the time comes for us to go to the polls, we will have a not-so-secret weapon of our own, the right leader. He's going to take our message to every corner of the country. He is going to give us a vision to believe in. He's going to stand nose to nose with Justin Trudeau, and he's going to lead a government that is ready to meet the challenge of these times. Ladies and gentlemen, I know Andrew is going to be ready. I'm going to be ready. And all of our candidates and all of us in the room, we're going to be ready. Let's work harder. Let's work smarter. Let's work together. And we will deliver the better government that Canada deserves. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to The Blueprint, Canada's Conservative podcast. To find more episodes, interviews, and in-depth discussions of politics in Canada, search for The Blueprint on iTunes or visit podcast.conservative.ca.